This podcast on Sports360AZ.com is brought to you by your Valley Hyundai dealers. We appreciate the Valley Hyundai dealers and their support.
Now, the Brad Sesmat Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Thanks for being with us late night with the Cardinal game. And turn right back around and you see that there's a pretty serious situation going on with the Arizona Wildcats basketball program that we're going to get into as the show moves along, involving the FBI and potentially the payment of one player, the way that it reads to me in the report. So I'm going to get into that, one existing player on the roster. So, yeah, stuff going on around the U of A basketball program that's not good. And tomorrow is their media day, ironically, with Sean Miller scheduled to speak tomorrow, that this story came out today. That is not the lead story, but it is one that is certainly very interesting to me. Look, I can do kneeling and arms locked all day long, and there's going to be some of that today. Peter King is going to be with us in about 15 minutes via Skype from his home in New York City. The Monday morning quarterback, the best in the business, Peter King, will join us. Michael Fabiano on the fantasy football front. Your team, you're 3 weeks into the season, your team blows. Okay? Your team is not good at all. You're the guy that drafted David Johnson with the number one and number two overall pick, and you've been trying for the last 2 weeks to swim upstream and figure it out. But you had Eddie Lacy, and he's not playing either. And you're just hosed. You had Darren Sproles, and he's gone for the year. You have no chance in your team, or at least you don't think you have a chance. So Michael Fabiano, the Hall of Famer, right from the NFL Network studios, as soon as he gets off the set, he will be joining us to solve all of your ills. Our television show, Brad Sesmat Football AZ on Fox Sports Arizona tonight with 16 airings. We appreciate those that sponsor and those that are involved in the show. Very much looking forward to that tonight as well. So we're going to start with the Cardinals and the game itself. So Carson Palmer didn't play bad. Let's not go down the path of get rid of Carson. What are they doing with Carson? I've gotten that. Okay, I've gotten through that. Many people have given me that angle, and that's not true. I didn't think Carson Palmer played that badly last night. Eric, you were at the game, and he didn't play that badly, did he?
No, not at all.
Yeah, you were down on him.
No, I thought the defense, outside of a couple broken plays where Dak Prescott made quite a few really good throws on the run,
yeah,
I thought the Cardinals' defense played pretty well.
82 yards after first contact for Zeke Elliott last night. That's a lot. Three missed tackles.
And it's a little, I mean, his numbers are a little bit misleading because he had 30-some-odd yards on one carry, and I think he had another carry where he had in the mid-20s, and he finished with 83.
83. And he was pushing, but he was moving the pile in the fourth quarter.
He was.
In the fourth quarter. But I would agree with you. It wasn't like, you know, this was the greatest night ever by him, but he was very efficient, and the Cardinals had no answer for him.
The bad news is the special teams were not special.
Yep.
The offensive line, which is
offensive.
Yeah. I mean, pieced together. I mean, Carson Palmer got sacked six times last night. DeMarcus Lawrence was in the backfield pretty much every single passing play.
So DeMarcus Lawrence, according to Pro Football Focus, PFF, and I put this up on the site. If you guys want to check it out, at sports360az.com.
Well read and well trusted.
Oh, yeah,
Pro Football Focus.
Very much. They drilled down on it. He had 12 hurries. 12.
By himself? That's unbelievable.
12.
That's crazy.
He had 3 sacks and 12 hurries.
Gosh.
And, you know, and I watched the game. So Gruden was talking about how he's not in great shape. He's not out on the field enough. So if he was in great shape and he was out of the field, what would that have looked like?
Well, he's played well all year.
Yeah.
That's why I'm wondering why they're pointing the finger at him. But it was a frustrating night. I know you watched the whole game. The first half, the Cardinals dominated, and it was a tie game at halftime.
Yeah.
I mean, that right there sort of set the precedence for the rest of the night.
I thought Phil Dawson's missed field goal.
Huge momentum swing.
Was
huge.
Yeah. That's the one you look back on last night and you say, if they make the field goal, it's 10-0. But then the Cowboys score going into the half, and they just had to feel like, you know what, we got completely dominated on the stat sheet.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the Fitz performance last night, it's one of those deals that when he's done, I don't know if he's going to be Tom Brady now. I don't know. I don't know if he's going to be a 44-year-old still playing the game, because that touchdown last night, that's a great picture. That touchdown last night, was as good a throw by Carson, was as good a route by Fitz. Everything worked right, and Larry just completely destroyed them. 13 catches, targeted 15 times, 150 yards, prime time. Didn't look like – he looked like 24, not 34.
In my five things we learned last night, I wrote the fact that Larry Fitzgerald, Brad, was targeted 15 times. Dak Prescott threw 18 passes. Think about that.
That's good. That's good. Well, so Carson was pressured 23 of the 54 times he dropped back. Nearly just under half the time he dropped back, he was under pressure. Again, this is Pro Football Focus. The analytics side of it just show you what happened. I put on Twitter last night, give me the headline of the game, and someone put Jared Vell deer in headlights. Okay.
Clever.
Deer in headlights. Very clever. And the fact that the offensive line was so bad and they didn't have DJ Humphries and they didn't have Mike Iupati, okay, that's going to be life in the NFL. So guess what? You've got to have better backups. You have to have better players. You can't give me the, well, we've lost this guy, this guy, this guy, this guy, because guess what? The 49ers are not canceling their flight down here on Saturday to play next Sunday. The following week, the Cardinals aren't canceling their flight to go to Philadelphia. That's just, when I hear of, well, we've been hit by injuries, so what? Everybody has. You've missed on some draft picks, okay? You've missed on some player evaluation. John Brown, don't tell me in March, as they did, the owner in particular, was, oh, we're going to have John Brown back. Yeah, John Brown's back, standing on the sidelines doing nothing. J.J. Nelson's hurt. So you're left with Fitz, and that's about it. I'm not going to get into this. Well, boy, the run game was really impressive last night. It's not David Johnson. And really, it was okay. I wouldn't say, am I wrong on this? Were you impressed with the run game last night?
I was impressed with Andre Ellington because he at least gives them a little bit more wiggle than Chris Johnson. Chris Johnson is sort of a what you see is what you get type back. Chris Johnson isn't going to take a run 80 yards down the sideline. Andre Ellington could take a run 80 yards down the sideline.
I guess when it comes to running back, you know, they were selling me on when they drafted Stephon Taylor that this is going to be a guy that's going to be a good player for us.
He's gone.
Andre Ellington is about as close as being gone, and now he's running for his life or his job in Arizona, essentially. Chris Johnson wasn't here. They cut him. They had to bring him back.
Yep.
You know, Kerwin Williams back and returning kicks. I don't understand why they would even kick it deep, to be honest with you. Why would you kick deep in this day and age and allow Kerwin Williams to start at the 25-yard line when if you kick it down to the 5, Kerwin Williams might get to the 15 or the 20. He's not fast. He's not a bad guy. It's just the special teams year to year, okay? Phil Dawson has missed 3 field goals, short field goals.
It's discouraging, Brad. I mean, that's the one that takeaway and the fact that Robert Kendici cannot
jump offside.
He's standing right over the football. You go to a Friday night game in high school and the coaches yell, "Watch the ball. Watch the ball." He is lined up right over the center of the ball and he's jumping offsides.
Those two
that
penalties
has to infuriate Bruce Arians.
No, but you know, those two penalties in the first half.
They're big.
It was in the second quarter where you had the Kendiche jump.
And Marcus Golden jumped offsides,
And Marcus Golden jumped offsides, too. You had two plays within about 5 minutes of the game that, again, at halftime, you're only leading. Or you weren't even leading. You were tied at 7. And it's not like Dallas is great. I mean, if you're one of these Cowboy fans says your team's great, I didn't think they were that great last night. They've got some very good individual players. Very good individual players. And the Cardinals are not a 1-2 team, in my opinion. That 1-2 teams early in the season, they've had some bad luck. It's part of the deal. They haven't played well in spaces. I think they can get this thing turned around. I really do. You know, San Francisco's not going to be a pushover. You would think San Francisco, easy win. Nobody cares up in the Bay Area about what's going on with the 49ers. They are a team that I think is one of those you're very lucky to catch them early in the season because I think with their coaching staff and their general manager, their leadership, they're going to get better as the season progresses. They're one of those teams that is ascending. If you look in the NFC West, I want to talk to Peter about this here in a few minutes, Peter King. The NFC West, the Rams are scoring a boatload of points. Has Jared Goff figured it out? Have the people around Jared Goff gotten him to believe in himself? Seattle's offensive line is offensive. It's not good. They're just not good on the offensive line. It's been a couple of years going. And so you look at the NFC West now through 3 weeks, and you have a divisional game this weekend. And I can't say the Cardinals are the best team. I can't say they're the worst team. I'm going to use the late Denny Green line. They are who we thought they were. They're just pretty mediocre in my view. Yeah, losing David Johnson hurts, but that's just an excuse. Losers use excuses. You got to find a way to fight through that. You just do. And now the market is going to turn its attention to the Diamondbacks, and rightly so. The Cardinals had their chance. Cardinals beat the Cowboys on national TV, Monday Night Football. You guys know this about Arizona. Everybody's on the bandwagon. Today, it took me an hour and 20 minutes to get to the studio. Why? Because the 101 was littered with broken ankles and broken legs, people jumping off the bandwagon and saying, I'm going to turn my attention to something else. And that something else, rightly so, is the baseball team. I cannot wait. So the start time for the Diamondbacks game has been announced next Wednesday. Their one-game playoff will be at 5 p.m. next Wednesday, a week from tomorrow. Right now, Colorado leads a game and a half. They lost last night to Miami. Milwaukee plays tonight. Craig Counsell, Pat Murphy is his bench coach. I want the Brewers here. I think it would be just awesome. They're a game and a half back. They play Cincinnati, the stinking Reds, tonight. St. Louis is playing Chicago. So of the three teams, I am cheering, openly cheering for the Brewers. I want the Brewers here. And that would be a week from Wednesday. So we'll talk more about that as the show moves on. In about 15 minutes, I'll get into what's happening in Tucson today, because it's not good around the U of A basketball program. It's never good when you see Department of Justice and you see FBI and you see U of A basketball. That's not good. I will explain that. But up next, Peter King joins us via Skype the day after the Cardinals end up losing, and also his view on kneeling, arms being locked, protests, all of that, what Donald Trump said around the league from the great Peter King. On the other side, I'm Brad Sussmat. And now Peter King joins us via Skype, the Monday Morning Quarterback. Great content that you can check out online, the MMQB, Peter King via Skype from New York City. All right, we're sitting here at 1-2. I'll get to the mess on the field in a minute. I'm just curious. I've seen your social over the last 3-4 days with everything that's come down from Trump, and I'm sure that it will change in the next day or so. But Peter, just overarching view from your standpoint, you've covered this league 30-plus years. You ever seen a weekend like this one where the president takes a shot and the NFL responds back, rightly or wrongly?
I haven't. I've thought back. I would say, with the exception of the first football game after 9/11, the first football weekend after 9/11, which you probably remember, Brad, the games of September 16, 5 days after 9/11, were pushed back into later in the season. And so the first games after 9/11 were actually 12 days after 9/11. But that weekend was utterly, absolutely surreal. The only time in my life I've ever cried in a press box. But anyway, so that's the only weekend that is close to this, in my opinion. And I mean, that's over 34 years. I just haven't seen anything where it was so strange. The game started on Sunday. That Jacksonville-Baltimore game, I'm in New York. It's 9:30 in the morning, and I fire up Yahoo or however the heck I got that thing streaming on my laptop. And I'm looking at the game, and I said, oh, yeah, I mean, football. Let's see. Boy, Flacco looks bad. But, I mean, I hadn't thought of that for 2 minutes in the previous 48 hours because of everything that had happened, or 36 hours. So, you know, to me, I just think it's a time where, as a country, it provides time for introspection. I think an awful lot of people right now, like a lot of people, want to simply get back to the days when it was just football. And quite honestly, Brad, I find it very, very interesting. If you look back to the to those golden days of week two, mm-hmm. 9 days ago. I mean, Brad, I challenge you to find more than five or six players who were demonstrating in any way
right.
during the national anthem. They weren't. And, Marshawn Lynch sat down. A couple of players had a raised fist. But, I mean, there were maybe three, maybe eight, but there was not more than 10. Demonstrating in any way, shape, or form. And when Donald Trump said what he said, it was a dog whistle to every player in the NFL to say, you're not going to call me an SOB if I would consider protesting what's going on in this country right now in any way. And so that Donald Trump is the one who caused this to happen, period. It was dying out. And players like Malcolm Jenkins and other like-minded players, conscientious players about this country were working behind the scenes, working and had already met with Roger Goodell to talk to him about what can the NFL do along with players to help promote social activism. And so it's kind of a sad thing, but I do think that anytime you're called to kind of provide some introspection on what's going on in this country, to listen to people who you're not going to agree with about everything, I think it's a good thing.
Well, and it's funny, Peter, the amount of social activism that I've seen out of players that you just would have never expected, that it's like the country was woke up. The NFL was kicked by being called an SOB. And I'm not saying it was right. I thought it was reprehensible what happened on Friday night. But to the point where Alejandro Villanueva's jersey, he has now become part of the talking points across our country, a lineman in Pittsburgh that most people haven't heard of outside of Pennsylvania, unless they really are paying close attention to the game. Number one selling jersey on shopnfl.com. So what do you make out of that angle, the Villanueva angle? What does it say to the country or to you that the country sees in him?
Brad, I think really what it says right now is that Steelers jersey, and saying, Alejandro Villanueva, I salute you, you're my favorite player, or something like that. So you're going to get a good portion of the population who feels that way. And how ironic it is that Villanueva yesterday apologized for it.
Right.
Because he didn't want to take away from the team aspect of his team. So it's all a mess. And I think, as for what's next, I mean, Mike Tomlin meets with reporters in, here today to discuss in Pittsburgh, to discuss a lot of things. But I'm sure he's going to get bombarded with questions about this, and rightfully so.
Peter King with us, the Monday morning quarterback. 1-2 now here in Arizona after losing Monday night to the Dallas Cowboys. I think anybody who piles on Carson Palmer today is just dead flat wrong. You've seen this team now for a few weeks. What do you make out of this mess here in Arizona at 1-2? Or is it just simply, look, they got some injuries on the offensive line. They're going to turn this thing around.
Well, this is one of the reasons, Brad, why honestly, when everybody was, calling for Carson Palmer to be benched or whatever, I think it's a pretty logical thing to say when you think about it right now. Honestly, it's a logical thing to say, in my opinion, that this is one of the reasons why football is such an interesting, compelling, and in my opinion, great, great game. Because you don't play the same every week unless you're a metronome like Tom Brady. you don't block as well every week. You don't run as well every week. You don't do everything as well every week. And it's a really good thing, in my opinion, for drama, for the game itself, for the sport, that sometimes you have really good players who don't play well. I still firmly believe that as long as he's healthy, any game he plays, Carson Palmer's got a chance to throw for 350. And the Arizona Cardinals can win. That's just the way I felt. I mean, I'm sitting there. We were just talking before we got on the air. I'm sitting there middle of the third quarter just thinking to myself, Cardinals are going to win this game.
Yeah.
I just felt that way. And part of that is Carson Palmer. I think part is the fact that I thought, you know, Larry Fitzgerald was really, really big in this game, and just simply continues to show that. I mean, look, I have no idea what he's going to do in his career. I guess I should say my gut feeling would be he'd probably play beyond this year. Mm-hmm. But every time I watch him, I mean, is there any argument that last night he's the best wide receiver on the field against a team that has a great wide receiver in Dez Bryant? I just think physically and in all ways, you know, blocking and everything, I just think he's a superior football player who just keeps it up. He's just, I think he's a rather amazing player. But I do think, Brad, what you mentioned about the offense and, you know, the fact that they were hurt last night by a guy who shouldn't really hurt them, and that's Jared Veldheer. He probably, I think certainly of all the guys on the offensive line, he had the worst game.
Yep.
And he was a big contributing factor. But I will also just make one other point about this. It's one of the things I think overall when you watch a football game that it's hard to tell right away what's the real reason why you won, what's the real reason why you lost. And I thought they had pretty good coverage last night. I really did. And I thought they did okay in pressuring Dak Prescott. But I also think that you've got to make some big plays against the Dallas offense. You've got to make some turnover plays. You've got to pressure Prescott consistently. And I don't think they pressured him consistently last night.
Last question, I'll let you go. Peter King, the MMQB. Check out all of his content at themmqb.com. Great stuff there. The NFC West, 3 weeks into it, Rams are scoring a ton of points. Here the Cardinals are. They've given up some numbers early on. Carson hit and miss. They lose David Johnson. The middle of this division was Seattle. Now they've got San Francisco. The Cardinals do this coming Sunday. I guess, what do you make out of this division 3 weeks in, Peter, is the question.
What I make about it is I'd be really worried if I were the Seahawks. Their offensive line is terrible. It's absolutely terrible. And, to me, Andy Benoit on our site wrote a really good, cogent, smart and strong story about how you've got to forget Russell Wilson in the pocket for this year. You know, you basically have to get Russell Wilson on the move consistently. That's the only way that you're going to be able, behind this offensive line, to really get things going and to really to try to have a good chance, to be able to be consistent on offense. So, I'd be very worried if I were the Seahawks, number one. Number two, I think you're going to see the 49ers play pretty well this year. Mm. I don't know that you're going to see them win a lot of games, but I think they're going to be significantly improved. I think their defensive line is better than it's played to this point. I think, obviously, the X factor is the Rams. After 3 weeks, I think it's possible. It's possible, as crazy as it sounds. The Rams could win this division. And they could win it because Sean McVay has really taught Jared Goff very, very well. I had some good stuff in my column this week from Andrew Whitworth, the left tackle of the Rams, about the teaching that he sees every day between Sean McVay and Jared Goff. And it's really showing up. So I think it's not a great division, Brad, by any stretch. It is, however, a fascinating division.
Stay well, Peter. Appreciate the visit and the time. Thanks.
Thank you.
There's Peter King, the Monday Morning Quarterback via Skype from New York City. He joins us every week. We appreciate the insight and time with Peter King. Check out his content over at themmqb.com, sports360az.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. Our television show, 16 airings this week on Fox Sports Arizona. Brad Sesmat, Football AZ, pro, college, high school. Makes no difference to me. We just deal it up every week and have fun doing it. Stay with us. We have Michael Fabiano coming up in about 15 minutes. Sports360az.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. We want to thank the Valley Hyundai dealers for their support. Valley Hyundai dealers. our presenting sponsor, for their support of what we do here day in and day out. Our television show tonight on Fox Sports Arizona will have 16 airings on FSAZ over the next 3 days. Brad Sussmat, Football AZ. You can check it out there. We're going to switch gears over to basketball now. So I am back in the space of being a club basketball dad. And it's always an adventure being a club basketball dad. I'll give you an example as to why. So my son is a seventh grader. He is 12. We are at a gym in Avondale on Saturday. Those of you that are in the club basketball world, you've been to Avondale a ton, just like me. It's a long drive. Nice facility, Randall McDaniel facility, nice facility. I'm standing there with my son, and over on court two, there's a game that's tied. It's high school guys, it looks like juniors and seniors in high school. And it's tied, and it's pretty heated. And there's like a minute to go in the game. Team scores a basket. Other team fouls intentionally. And all of a sudden, over on court two, there's a slap and a shove and a push and a punch. And both benches and the stands. And there's one security guard in the whole place. And my son is looking at me. And I'm like, oh, yeah, this is great. A big-time brawl. And this brawl went for a while. This was guys rolling around and coaches and pants being pulled down to ankles. And oh, it was just beautiful. Nothing quite like it. Over on like court four, I think there were eight-year-olds playing. And they're stopping. And they're watching this nonsense go on. So through the years, to think that that's just something that happens at the park, Brad, you're making a big deal out of nothing. No, it's, you know, I go there and I see players. I saw the number one rated eighth grader in the state who's already been offered by ASU and GCU, and he's going to be a very talented player, and I've seen him in the past, and I watched him. It was fine. I had no problem with that. It's interesting when you see the number one rated eighth grader, and there's some guys that show up that I've never seen before at these games. Who are these guys? They're not parents. They're not brothers or sisters. They're just dudes that are hanging around because they've heard. That's the backdrop to what took place today. You're going to hear about this story more than even anthem protests as the day goes on. The narrative is going to shift, even though Trump went on Twitter again this morning about Jerry Jones. Okay? I'm going to have to read this to you just to give you the context, because it is free-flowing. It is happening as we are speaking. Four assistant basketball coaches from Arizona, Auburn, Oklahoma State, and Southern California, fine bastions of athletic integrity, especially in the world of college basketball, through the years, I would say, were among those arrested on federal corruption charges Tuesday after they were caught taking thousands of dollars in bribes to steer NBA-destined college stars towards certain sports agents, financial advisors, this according to authorities. Shocking. Stunning. No. The coaches named in the documents were Chuck Pearson. Remember Chuck Pearson? Of course you do. He played. He's at Auburn now. Oklahoma State's Lamont Evans. I think Lamont has ties to Arizona State in the past, but not here. Arizona's Emmanuel Book Richardson, who, by the way, has been with Sean Miller for a long time. And USC's Tony Bland, not immediately clear who would represent them at initial court appearances. So these guys were all arrested, including Sean Miller's main guy. Also charged in this, in Manhattan federal court were managers, financial advisors, representatives of a major international sportswear company, Adidas. So the shoe company is now involved in this too, and this is only 3 hours into it. The picture painted by the charges brought today is not a pretty one. According to John H. Kim, the acting United States attorney for the Southern District of New York, he said this in a news conference earlier today. Quote, coaches at some of the nation's top programs soliciting and accepting cash bribes, managers and financial advisors circling blue chip prospects like coyotes, and employees of one of the world's largest sportswear companies secretly funneling cash to the families of high school recruits. For the 10 men charged, continuing the quote, for the 10 men charged, the madness of college basketball went well beyond the big dance in March. Month after month, the defendants exploited the hoop dreams of student athletes around the country, allegedly treating them as little more than opportunities to enrich themselves through bribery and fraud scandals. Boy, I'm just shocked by all of this. No, I'm not. NCAA spokeswoman Gail Dent, when asked for a statement from the NCAA, said, quote, "Nothing on this end. We'll let you know if that changes."
Yeah,
That's awesome.
I don't want to come across as being terse, but I've become so numb to these types of stories because
nothing like this though before, Eric.
Yeah, but it's all part of the big picture, Brad. It's Reggie Bush's parents' house. It's Rick Pitino's sex scandal at Louisville. There's so many of these things that happen below the surface.
Yeah.
And when I saw this, it just wasn't like. This is just the world we live in. I wasn't like, oh my gosh, did you see what happened? Yeah, okay. Assistant coaches are paying athletes, and
there's a setup
between financial advisors and assistant coaches and NBA agents. It doesn't matter. Like it's probably been happening a lot more than what has been reported.
Oh, sure it does. Sure, but according to documents and reading through this and people whose opinions, again, this is free flowing. One of the players on U of A's roster apparently is in the middle of this, but it's not named.
Again, not surprised.
Not surprised, but again, U of A is telling me this is going to be, U of A fans, it's going to be our greatest season. It's going to be our biggest season. Sean Miller's media day is tomorrow at 2 o'clock. Tomorrow. And this gets dropped on him.
They're in a boardroom right now.
One of the players, one of the players on this roster. So what do you know? I'm not going to throw any names out here, but I'm just going to say, what do you know? Hillcrest Prep announced yesterday they signed a new deal with Adidas. Shocking. Who knew? Louisville reportedly is part of this. Right now they're listed as School 6 in the documents.
And what brand does Louisville wear?
Adidas. So there's an Adidas executive, Jim Gatto, who's named as well as agents and financial planners. That are in this, and they are using a cooperative witness. I know we got Fabiano here in a minute, so just cut me off if he's close. They're using a cooperative witness who is described as operating an athlete management business. This is a financial planner who handles money for pro athletes. The FBI was able to get an undercover agent into hotel rooms, meetings, and deals. In 2016, the cooperating witness was accused of committing securities fraud, according to complaints, and presumably flipped after that. The details are overwhelming. So, yes, you're right that this has been going on. But now, Eric, it is tied to the University of Arizona Wildcats, a team that everybody and their brother is saying this is their year.
But what type of players do U of A go after? They go after the elite of elite players where you're competing against the Dukes and the Louisvilles and all the other national powers. So if you can sort of sweeten the pot a little bit for some of these kids to get them to Tucson, not surprising.
One case among many in three complaints, which total nearly 200 pages of complaints, okay, states that Adidas's financial planner guy, Gatto, financial planner Munish Sood, and agent Christian Dawkins conspired to illicitly funnel approximately $100,000 from company one to the family of player 10. An All-American high school player to assist one or more coaches at University 6, a school sponsored by the company, number one. And to further ensure that player number 8 ultimately retained the services of Dawkins and Sood and signed with the company number one upon entering the NBA. So all this is laid out. When I'm saying player number 1, player number 8, they've got 8 players at least listed in these documents. It's 200 pages. I started looking at it 15 minutes ago. So I'm just reading it as we go. I am not surprised. I mean, the headline here in Arizona is it's the Arizona Wildcats that are part of this deal. And those of you that thought this was your year, it still may be. Still may be. But if there's a player on that roster, just look at it and we'll go through this more as the days ensue. Michael Fabiano, right from the NFL Network, is next on the Fantasy Football Front. I'm Brad Sussmat. Right here, right now, from the NFL Network, Michael Fabiano joins us, the Hall of Famer, week in and week out. We have had Michael on this program for the better part of 4 years, so when I see something on a personal end that is very sad, I acknowledge it. That's just who we are here on the show. And Michael had a loss, a dog, correct?
Yeah, man.
Bummer. Sorry.
I appreciate it, man. It's funny because, some people think, oh, it's just an animal. It's like so much more than that, part of the family. And it's tough. And it happened quick, too, cancer. So.
Oh, man. Sucks.
Rough morning today.
Yeah. Well, and look, this stuff is meaningless to some and means everything to everybody on the football end of things. So when you have a loss, it's obviously much more important. So we'll be a little somber today, but we'll get through this. How's that for an answer?
Yeah, absolutely.
Takeaways then. 3 weeks in, what are your biggest takeaways of fantasy football 2017?
Well, the biggest surprise has got to be Kareem Hunt. And we talked about this in the preseason. Now, I loved him. I did not think he was going to be the second coming of Priest Holmes. He's been tremendous, and he's going to end up being a league winner. When you look back at a lot of the owners who win their leagues, he is going to be owned in quite a few of those because he wasn't picked until probably the third or fourth round. Mm-hmm. So if you did well with your first couple of picks, and then you got Kareem Hunt on top of that, well, you're doing very well. And another thing that has really been a theme, two things really. Number one, the tight end position has disappeared. Right now, between injuries outside of Rob Gronkowski, I mean, even Travis Kelce last week had a stinker. It's very hard to find a tight end that you can trust week in and week out. If you drafted Zach Ertz, then you're very happy about that. But other than that, between Jimmy Graham being banged up, Tyler Eifert's now out again.
Yep.
Jordan Reed, you never know 1 week to the next if he's going to be active or not active. That position's become hard to fill. On the flip side, look at the quarterbacks. And we've known that this is a quarterback-driven league, and a lot of the rules are geared towards quarterbacks having success. But when you look at last week's leaders, Case Keenum, third in fantasy points among quarterbacks, Jacoby Brissett, fourth, Blake Bortles, fifth, Brian Hoyer, seventh, Jared Goff, ninth, DeShone Kizer, 12th. It was unreal. 16 quarterbacks had almost 20 fantasy points last week. Marcus Mariota with 19.7 was 16th. In typical weeks, that's a top eight performance. Even Deshaun Watson, who I believe needs to be picked up in a lot of leagues right now, when you go into New England, coached by Bill Belichick,
yeah,
and go for 20 fantasy points against that team, I know the defense isn't as good as it's been, but still, that shows you something. And with that also, you also are seeing some big-name quarterbacks who are not producing, and at this point, I believe you can drop them, and one of them is Cam Newton.
Yeah.
He doesn't look right. I don't know if the shoulder's still bothering him. He's not accurate. But when you play the New Orleans Saints at home, and I get it, it's a division game, but that defense looked awful in the first couple of weeks. And then to go out and score just 8 fantasy points, when you rush for a touchdown as a quarterback, that's not good.
All right, so you've thrown a lot of meat there on the bone from the mailbag. Mailbag is... it's all about Cam Newton. I'm getting a lot of Jameis Winston and a lot of Jared Goff. So let's go through those three. You've pretty much done the Newton thing already. You're ready to bail on him and blow him out. Where are you at on Winston and Goff?
Winston, certainly not someone that I'm going to drop. He needs to be played when the matchup is favorable. And last week, he did not have a favorable matchup. It was really bad, actually. The Vikings have been so tough on quarterbacks on their home field over the last year plus. So I think you remain steady with Winston in terms of the matchups. I don't love the matchup this week against the Giants, but there's so many good quarterbacks. Again, you can pick up a Deshaun Watson off the waiver wire. Jared Goff, who you just mentioned, back in the preseason, we talked about it. He may not be a valuable fantasy asset, but what he does on the field is going to be a big determinant in the value of a Todd Gurley or the value of a Sammy Watkins,
right,
for example. And Gurley's been better than advertised. Let's put it that way. He's already got 6 touchdowns, and part of that is because Goff is no longer a punchline. He's been pretty decent. Now, am I going to start him every week? I mean, obviously not, because, number one, the position's deep. Number two, he's clearly not at that level yet. This week, his matchup is in Dallas. And, you know, that Cowboys defense, boy, they got after Carson Palmer big time last night, but he also ended up putting up 21 fantasy points. So am I putting Goff in my top 10? No. Is he streamable? Yes. Is he a DFS option? Yes. If you play in a super flex league, would I use him? Absolutely.
All right, so I'm looking at Tyrod Taylor, And he's available in my league, and I'm just done with Cam Newton, and I didn't draft him. I'm going to blame my partner on that one, throw him under the bus. Where are you at on Tyrod Taylor? Because I am getting questions about him and how his season is going.
Again, a matchup-based play. Week one had a good matchup against the Jets. Week two went to Carolina, did nothing. Now, week three, which was last week, you would think it's a bad matchup, and it clearly, on paper, was against the Denver Broncos, but he still threw for two touchdowns.
Yeah.
That one kind of came out of the blue. This week, he's got a road game against Atlanta. Could be some points put up in that game. Again, not a QB1 in my opinion. I like the way that he can run with the football. That's always been a huge benefit for him and Tyrod. He's been a top 10 quarterback two straight years. But I do believe he's streamable and potentially a very nice flex option, again, in those super flex leagues. But I also believe there are some better options out there on the waiver wire. I mentioned Watson before. I'm so impressed with him. So impressed with what he did. I would prefer to play Deshaun Watson over a guy like Tyrod Taylor coming up this week. It's close. Trevor Siemian, also, not sure if he's available. I think he's probably still available in some leagues. Didn't have a good game last week, but in his first two games at home, he was nails, and he's playing back at home against the Raiders, who just got torched by the Redskins and Kirk Cousins. So Simeon's a nice play this week, too.
Okay, on the running back front, we're talking with Michael Fabiano, the Hall of Famer, right there at the NFL Network, senior fantasy analyst. You can check out his content at NFL.com. Get a lot of questions about Carson in Seattle, Foreman in Houston, and Jamal Charles starting to bubble a little bit. Where are you at on those three?
Well, let's start off with Foreman. I just don't see him taking that job. And he hasn't been spectacular. His yards per carry average is sort of an average. And at worst, it's a committee. That's kind of what I believe is going to happen, and it's going to happen throughout the course of the season. Chris Carson needs to be owned in all leagues. I get it. The Seahawks backfield is troublesome because they can't put out a very solid offensive line right now. I understand that. But he's getting all the touches. He's seeing all the snaps. Eddie Lacy's an afterthought. Thomas Rawls is an afterthought. And C.J. Procise is used in the passing game. So Carson needs to be owned in all leagues. And in terms of Jamal Charles, surprised last week that he saw as many touches as he did.
Yeah.
It wasn't like he put a ton of touches and he had a ton of touches and C.J. Anderson didn't. I believe you're going to see a correction this week, and I think C.J. gets more work, and C.J. remains the guy that I would prefer in that Broncos backfield. Is Jamal Charles worth a roster spot? Sure. Is he as good as C.J. Anderson? Let's not kid ourselves. He's not.
Yeah. I'll let you go off that. Keep your head up, man. I'll talk next week.
All right, brother. Take care.
Well, there's Michael Fabiano right there at the NFL Network, senior fantasy analyst, checking in every week on the fantasy football front. Tomorrow we're going to have Pedro Gomez with us, and we're going to have Stuart Mandel. Stuart bailed out on Fox after SI, and he's now part of The Athletic, a new subscription-based site, and he's doing real good deep dive work. He also has a terrific podcast each week with Bruce Feldman. And we're going to get into Todd Graham and Rich Rod and the Heisman Trophy and do a ton on college football tomorrow. And, of course, the Diamondbacks with Pedro Gomez, none better than the great Pedro on the Diamondbacks, Valley resident, of course, with ESPN. Jared Nielsen's our chairman of the board. Eric produces, as always, and our TV show is tonight on Fox Sports Arizona. We're on starting at 5 o'clock for a full straight hour, and on right after the Diamondbacks game, postgame, for a full hour as well. Have a great day. Thanks for checking out this podcast on Sports360AZ.com, brought to you by your Valley Hyundai dealers.